Right. I know I've said welcome, but I just want to say welcome again. It's really a privilege for all of you that joined us tonight. People from far, my parents-in-law are here, some friends from Edgemeet and City Bowl and Wellington and all over the show. So we're so thankful that we can start this thing with you guys, and we're excited for what God is going to do. So I know that, as I said earlier, this is a new church plant. It's something new we're doing in Stellenbosch, and many people have been asking me, Leonard, are you excited or nervous? Or are you more excited than nervous or more nervous than excited? And it's a difficult question. I think up until tonight, I was more excited than nervous. And I think somewhere tonight, the scale tipped a bit. And I think I felt a bit more nervous than excited. But praise God, he's here and he's ultimately in control. And if tonight blows up, he's still in control. It's okay. If I preach a lemon, it's still okay. Jesus is in control. So I am quite nervous, I must say. You know, if I can take you on a trip down memory lane, can you remember the first time that you had to hold a girl's hand? Or a guy, vice versa, you know? You remember let me say this, for some of you that's way long ago, some of the older people joining us, can you remember the first time you started at your new job and you walk in and the heart is racing, the excitement level is high? Or maybe, I don't know, the first time you started at university and you stepped into your class for the first time, or stepped into res and you met a whole bunch of new people. You remember that excitement, but you remember the nerves. You remember the sweaty palms and the heart racing and you remember the nerves. That's sort of how I feel tonight. So just extend a bit of grace, but there's a bit of nervousness. But I must say, to be honest, I think the nerves in having to lead this thing, it's something that's been on my heart for such a long time. I've wanted for us to plant a church, and coming to Stellenbosch, it was always the plan that we would start with this. And I've been super excited about this thing, but God has taught me great lessons, which I'm like, praise God that you've done a big work in me, because I think the nerves, to be honest, it's not so much that the coffee will taste horrible, or that the chairs will be out of line, or that we'll have feedback on the sound system, or, you know, something will fall over and break. It's not so much the practicalities. What I'm really actually a bit nervous about, but I think it's a good thing still, is I really want this to be a church where God is present. I really want that. And it's been my prayer, and it's something that I've been praying so many times over the last while. I've been saying, God, I really want this to be a church where when we step in, we know that the living God, the God who created everything, the God who created the mountains, the ocean, the God who created you, everyone sitting here, that God, God, we want you to be present as we gather as a church. It's been my prayer. And this has been the scripture that I've been holding on to. And I've been saying, God, if there's this one scripture that for the rest of this year that I want to cling to, I want to be like a pit bull and just grab hold of that scripture and say, I'm not letting go of this thing, God, this is what I want. It's one of those scriptures that if I could put it above my bed or in my Bible, I don't like tattoos, but if I were to like a tattoo and it could only last for a year because I don't want it longer than that, this would be the thing that I want to remember, that scripture that I want to remember. And at this claim, it's a horrible scripture to start a church plant with, a horrible one, because what I want is actually the exact opposite of the scripture. What the scripture says, my prayer is, God, let me never have you having to say to me what you say in the scripture. God, let me be exactly the opposite, and let this church be a place where exactly the opposite is being said. And that's what I want to cling on, and I want to invite you along to come cling on to that thing with me as we start. You can put the first verse up. It's in Revelation 3, verse 20, and it says, this is Jesus speaking to a church. And Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Just imagine that. Imagine Jesus outside there tonight, knocking on the door. He says, if anyone hears my voice, so he's not only knocking, he's also calling. He's saying, hey, I want to come in. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. My greatest prayer is, I'm praying, God, let this never be a church where you stand outside and knock wanting to come in. Jesus Christ, you are the head of this church. Let this be a church where you are welcome. Where we come to, when we come together, you are the boss. You are the lead elder. You are the pastor. Jesus, you are the one that is in control of this church. Never, ever come to a place, Jesus, please, that you feel like you are not welcome with us. You see, because whether Jesus is inside the church or outside the church, it makes a massive difference. It makes all the difference, to be honest, whether he's a member at your church or not. It makes a difference. See, if Jesus is outside, you might not notice it. You might walk into a church and you could say, wow, there's such a cool vibe here. It's so fun. You might even enjoy it. It might even be a message preached that challenges you and you feel like, ah, I can grab onto this message, I can change. But when Jesus is inside, lives are really transformed. When he's inside, it's more about him than it is about us. When he's inside, we get changed from the inside out, where the other way around, we just change on the outside, but nothing in us changes. When God is here, when the living God is in a church, it changes everything. It changes the way that we do church. And my heart has been to have the prayer, I mentioned it in worship, to have the prayer of Moses as the prayer for us as a church as we started going forward. Exodus 33, verse 14 to 16. Moses says to God, God says to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So in a sense, what God is saying to Moses is, Moses, I want to be with you. Just like Jesus is saying in the previous scripture, I want to be inside. He's saying, Moses, I'll be with you. And then it goes on. And Moses said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And the next one. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? You see, if God's not going to attend this church, then I'm not going to attend this church. And you shouldn't either. If you know that God is not here, then don't come back. But if God is here, I promise you, your life is going to be changed. We cannot be in the presence of God and go unnoticed. We cannot be in the presence of God and not be changed. The presence of God changes everything. It changes everything. And so let that be our prayer. Jesus, if you are outside, we're going to stop. Then we're not going on. Then this was all just a good idea. It seemed good for a moment. But Jesus, if you're not here, then it's just a bunch of people in a social club. Good coffee, some sing-along songs, a good message that makes me a better me. But Jesus, if it's not about you, then I don't want it. And let that be our prayer. So I know that as I say that, I think some of you are thinking, listen, what are you saying? This is impossible. How can Jesus not be with us? If we're going to worship, if we're going to tithe, if we're going to like sing cool songs and we're going to preach the gospel, obviously Jesus will be with us. But I want to say, I don't think it's that simple. I think if we look at the Bible, Jesus says that I will be with the church that not only does the right thing, but a church that does the right thing right, according to the way that I say it. See, it's not just about preaching. Then you're doing the right thing. It's about what you're preaching, how you're preaching, why are you preaching. Jesus says, I'm interested in your heart. If your heart's not right, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to come in. See, we can do the right thing. We're doing the right thing tonight. But are we doing the right thing right? Let's take you to a scripture in the Old Testament to show what I'm speaking about. And you don't have to put it up yet, but in the Old Testament, there's this guy called Amos. And Amos is a prophet. He's a prophet of God. He speaks for God. So in the Old Testament, God spoke to his prophets. The prophets spoke to the people. In the New Testament, we can hear from God as his people, right? But it's interesting, also in the Old Testament, church didn't exist like church exists now. See, in the Old Testament, the church was something you were born into as a baby because you became part of the Hebrew people. In the New Testament, the church is something you get born again into, not just born into. So in the Old Testament, you just had to be born and you were part of the church, the people of God. In the New Testament, you have to be born again. See, you could be sitting here tonight and you might not be part of church, because you haven't given your life over to him fully. It's a supernatural thing where God makes us part of church. And God speaks to his people in the Old Testament, his church in a sense, and he gives them a stark warning because he wants to say to them, you're doing all the right things. You're bringing the sacrifices. You are praying. You're keeping the festivals. When I look at it, everything looks good, like tonight. But he's saying, when I come in a bit deeper, I don't know if you're doing the right things right. Amos 5, verse 21 to 23. God is speaking to his people. Says, and God is also God of love, right? But it's the same God of the Old Testament as the God of the New Testament. Says, I hate, I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. Jesus is saying, I don't really care that you're doing the right thing. Are you doing it exactly the way that I want? And is your heart in it, not just your hands? See, we can so easily do church just the right way, but we're not doing it with our hearts. Our hearts are not fully into it. I think in order to explain this a bit better, let me give you an illustration. So let's say tonight really sucks. Like, let's say no visitors want to join. And let's say, like, some of you think that was the worst message I've ever heard. And Andrew Seely, the guy that started this church, he gives me a phone call tomorrow morning and he says, listen, Leonard, I heard that sucked. That was horrible, Leonard. I thought I gave you one job. You had one job. Hey, you messed it up, Leonard. Preached bad theology. You just didn't do it right. Just imagine for a moment that happens. So fortunately, unfortunately, I've got a bit of an entrepreneurial mind. I like thinking about things like that. So I'll make a plan. Don't you worry. Church can kick me out. I've got a plan. I don't have to be a pastor. Here's my plan. See, in Stellenbosch, there's a bunch of health nuts. Any health nuts in here? Huh? Vegans? Some? Ah, some of you, I know. Anyway, there's this growing trend in Stellenbosch that people want to be really healthy. They want to, like, eat healthy, run. They want to cycle. There's like this really active culture. So I know, even if I can't be a pastor anymore, I'll make it work. I'll do a bit of market. I don't have to do market research. I know exactly what's going to work. I'm going to start something called Leonard's Healthy Smoothies. Can you see it? Leonard's Healthy Smoothies. It'll be great. And I'll come next to campus. I'll have a little pop-up shop with a massive banner saying, Leonard's Healthy Smoothies, because if they see my name, it'll be like, hey, that pastor's starting a smoothie thing. Awesome. I'm going to go. It's great. And you know what? I know that people who say they like that stuff, and sorry if you're offended now, but they're a bit pretentious. They don't really like it. They just like the idea of it. And so what I'll do is I'll give it a shot for like a week or two. I'll say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'll start with only fruit and veg, nothing else, and just put that in a smoothie, some apples to make it nice and sweet. But I know it's not sweet enough. I'll get a few people, but I won't make moolah. I want to make some money. If I'm not going to be a pastor, at least I can be rich, you know? And I want to be successful because people know that I'm not a pastor anymore. So at least, I mean, I have to be successful in something. So I'll try this smoothie thing. And what I'll do is after about a week or two, I'll slowly but surely, I'll start adding a bit of ice cream to the smoothies. People like ice cream. I know because I'm married to my wife. People go like crazy over ice cream. And I won't tell them there's ice cream in it. I'm just going to add a little bit of ice cream. And I promise you, as sure as day, more and more people will start coming. After a while, if I add enough ice cream, enough sugar, enough honey, enough hundreds and thousands, after a while, I promise you, I'm going to have a crowd. It's going to be amazing. In the mornings when you wake up and you walk past campus, you'll see people at Leonard's Healthy Smoothies. It'll be great. But don't you think if I do that, at some point I need to change the name because I'm not being truthful anymore. It's not healthy anymore. And I believe that's the same thing when it comes to church. We start with the right intentions. We start with the right ingredients, the ingredients that God wants. But we think that's not going to draw a crowd. And to be a successful church, we think we need a crowd. We need lots of people. And so we just add a bit of sugar. We add the nice things. We add the messages that tickle their ears, that make it nice to hear. We won't do worship too excitedly. We'll just tame down the worship. We'll just do things in a way that when people come, it's nice and it's easy for them. We'll do the sugar, and I promise you, we'll draw a crowd. See, it's easy to draw a crowd, but at some point you have to change your name to say maybe we look like a church, maybe we're not a church anymore because it's more sugar than it is fruit. I've added too many of my own ideas, my own things, and pastors tend to do that. Unfortunately, we tend to think, I know God says he gives us a way to do this thing, but I've got a few better ideas because I know people. God is up there, I'm down here, I know people. But I'm telling you, that's not what I want. Francis Chan, he's got a quote that says, there are times when God hates our worship. There are churches God wants to shut down. So often we assume that as long as we show up to worship, God is pleased. The Bible tells us a different story. So the question is, what does the Bible tell us? If God says he has the plan, he's telling us what to do, he knows what he wants in his church. If we want God to be inside and not outside, and we say, okay, God, I want to follow your plan for the church because I want to see a healthy church according to your ways, there's good news. God's given us a blueprint in the Bible. He hasn't left us to come up with our own ideas. He said, I'm giving you a blueprint. I'm giving you plans. And the Bible is full of it. If you just go look, if you open up your Bible and you read it a bit differently and you really try and get to it, I'm telling you, God has a plan for what he wants his church to look like. So what if we were to do that? What if we were to say, I'm just going to take all my ideas of church and take that away. I'm going to go to a desert island. I'm just going to take my Bible and I'm going to open up my Bible and say, God, what is your dream for church? How do you see it? I'm telling you, you are going to find the most beautiful things that God wants. And it's not going to be what you want. I'll say that again. Let it sink in. If you go search the scriptures and say, God, what do you want? Because you want a church. I want a church. If you want a church that attracts God, the way that God is going to ask you to build is not going to be the way that you want to build. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. I'll tell you what I'd enjoy. I don't like people jumping up and down in worship. It's not my personality. It's not my thing, to be honest. Anyone else? Okay, there's a few. I don't dig it, to be honest. I don't. I like short messages, not long messages, because my concentration span, it's not always there. It goes all over the show. I don't like it. It's always, depends. If Kala's preaching, it can be long. No. Someone else, a bit shorter. I don't want it too long. That's what I like. I like intellectual messages like that I can think about it, chew on it. And I like messages that make me a better person. I don't actually like messages that make me feel like I suck. Anyone else? Okay, two honest people in here. But you know what? God is not like me. God is not like me. His plans are different to my plans. His blueprint is different to my blueprint. I can't come to God and say, God, I know you've given me a blueprint for what you want your house to look like. But God, I think the stairs, if we just move it a little bit that way, I'd like it better. God's like, no, I know what I want my house to look like. I'll build my house the way that I want to build it. So if you don't build it my way, then it's okay, I'll find another house. Let's never be those people. See, God has specific ideas about worship and what he wants worship to look like. It really doesn't matter what your preference is. It matters about God's preference. What does he want? God has specific ideas about preaching. It doesn't matter what you like. It's about what God likes. God has specific ideas about leadership in the church. What he wants leadership to look like. It doesn't matter what you like. It's about what God likes. God has specific ideas about the role of men and women in church and in life. It doesn't really matter what we like. It's what God likes. God has specific ideas about our heart for lost people who do not know him. God has specific ideas about our theology. God has specific ideas. And one day, all of us, not just the church leaders, every one of us are going to have to stand before him and say, God, I did it my way or I did it your way. And God is going to test the work that you built and the way that you saw church and the church that you gave yourself to. He's going to test it. And the Bible says he's going to test it by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. It says, for if what was being brought to an end, no, that's 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'll read it to you so long. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of this church. It's only by salvation, only by giving your life to him that you can really become part of church. Now, if anyone builds on any other foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, and the day speaks about the time when Jesus comes again, will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test the sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a great reward. Listen to that. If we do church God's way, God will be with us. And God's presence will be our reward. It'll change everything. It's rewarding doing it God's way, even though you don't like it. And you'll come to like it, I'm telling you. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. If you mess this church thing up, you'll still be saved, but you won't be rewarded. You won't be rewarded. So let's be a people. I'm not going to go into specifics tonight. We don't have time. But for the next few weeks, we're going to take the Bible and we're going to look at a few things, especially in the book of Acts. We're going to look at the blueprint. We're going to say, God, just throw our ideas out. We don't care about our ideas. God, what do you want? What is your blueprint? How do you want to build? We're going to do that. But the starting point for all of us needs to be a heart to say, God, your way and not my way. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's just say that together maybe. God, your way and not my way. Amen. I agree with that prayer. It's a good prayer. God's way. Not our way. So I firstly want to speak to every person that's part of Josh Chain, whether it's this one or another Josh Chain. I want to speak to you firstly tonight. And I want to say this message of God wanting a blueprint, he knows what he wants his house to be like. It's not a message for us to point fingers to other churches and say, you're doing it wrong, we are doing it right. When we look at God's blueprint, we don't compare to other people, we compare according to his blueprint. We can't be a people that say, ah, I think we're doing it better than that church, so we're doing it well enough. No. We have to say, I want to do it as well as the Bible says I can do it. So let's not be judgmental people saying we have all the answers, because I'm telling you, every church has its mistakes. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it. You're going to mess it up quickly, because you will be the mistake in that church. The beautiful thing for every Josh Chen here is that first scripture, Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, Jesus is standing outside, but you know what the beautiful thing is? He's saying he wants to come into a church, but he's saying if anyone, one meaning one, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll be with him. Could it be that one person could be the difference in a church? Could it be that a small group of people get it and say, God, we're not living for nothing else but your presence. We would want to do it your way so that you are there. And you might turn a whole church. You could turn this church. So don't be judgmental. Ask yourself the question, am I living for God's presence? Am I doing church because it's comfortable, or am I doing it because I want him? Because I want God. Because God resides in a house that is built for him, his way. If you're part of another church and you're here tonight, I want to speak to you as well. I want to say the biggest question you need to answer is the church that you go to, do they value the presence of God above preference of people? See, if it's the preference of people, it's going to be very comfortable. Francis Schaeffer said, if you show me what the world thinks now, I'll show you what the church thinks in a few years' time. If your church thinks like the world, it thinks marketing, it thinks what do people want, what are people going to like, and it doesn't think how are we going to get God here, then it might not be the best church for you. If you're unsure, look for evidence of God's presence. If you're unsure, if you're in another church, you'll see changed lives. There'll be people getting saved. You'll see people living for God and not living for themselves. That'll be the evidence of a church where God is present. You want to be in a church where God is a member, or else you don't want to be a member there. It's interesting, John Wesley, someone asked him, And I'm not trying to preach out of your church. You take the word for what it is, and then you decide for yourself. They asked John Wesley, someone came to him, was unhappy with his church. And he said, John, when can I leave my church? I want to leave it. When can I leave it? And John Wesley said to him, you can leave your church when God leaves it. But before then, don't leave it. And I think that's the same thing. Ask yourself that question. Is God really there? And just imagine this, guys. The God who created everything. If he's with us, don't you think things will look a bit different? Just imagine that. Think about it. Think about the sky. Think about the planets. Think about the Milky Way. Think about this building. Think about the people around you. Think about your studies. Think about all the wealth of knowledge in the world. Think about the grass. Think about the fish. Think about the animals. Think about everything that God has created and ask yourself, if that God was with you in your church, don't you think lives will change? The answer is yes, lives will change. Look for a church that values God's presence over people's preference. If you're here and you're not part of a church, I want to say to you, the church not working is not such a lack of place. We get hurt. The church where God is not present, you are going to get hurt. Even in a church where God is present, you're still going to get hurt because the church is full of people. But when the church sees it, if we grab onto this message tonight and we say, I don't want to go to any church just because it's fun and it's a cool vibe. I want to go to a church that really values God and wants what he wants. I'm telling you, if you're in a church like that, it's awesome. It's one of the best places you can be because it's God's idea and he's there. I tell you, if you're not in a church and you might have gotten hurt by a church, I can't say sorry, but I can say if you're in a church that works, it's the most awesome thing. So find a church where you can belong. And then finally, as I end off, I want to speak to you tonight if you do not know Jesus. See, Jesus Christ is the head of this church, and that's the prayer. We want him to be the head of this church. And if he is the head of the church, it means that he is Lord of us. He is in control. And if you're here tonight, becoming part of his church is a supernatural work. You have to give your life over to him. You have to say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for loving me. God, I give you my life. I give you my life. And I really believe if you are here and you do not know Jesus, then tonight God has an appointment with you. He does. You know, in the beginning when I was saying that God can sometimes stand outside of a door and knock? If you do not know Jesus yet, if you're still living your own life, here's a promise. Jesus Christ is standing outside of your heart as well and is knocking. Saying, please let me in. I want to be with you. I want to show you life like you've never seen it. I want to show you life in abundance. It's the glorious, most glorious life. Jesus is standing. He says, please let me in. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. I want to supernaturally make you part of my church, my body. I want to change your life. But you need to open the door. And you need to pray and say, God, I give everything over to you. I don't want to live my life for me anymore. I want to live a life where you are present. We close our eyes.